look out. Thugs beware. Killers watch out. Wrongdoers don't dare. It has been whispered in the dark dens of the wicked, in the bright halls of the just. Now at last it can be told. You can almost see the air here, dirty gray with cigarette smoke and thick with the smell of the sea. The bar is called the Last Resort, a gathering place for those with nowhere else to go, and it has been a safe haven for those who skirt the edges of the law. That is, until tonight!
Cripes! It's him!
What in blazes is he doing here?
Silently, the dark-clad intruder strides across the smoke-choked barroom, and one glance into his murderously cold eyes sends burly men who pride themselves on their viciousness scrambling out of his path. When he stops, so do half the hearts in the room.
I figured I'd find you here, snitch.
I've been keeping my nose clean, Batman. What do you want from me?
What I always want, snitch, information. I received a package in the mail today, containing a costume, or rather what was left of one. I want to know who sent it.
So what do I look like, anyway? The post office? Hey, I ain't heard nothing about no packages. And even if I did know something, I...
For the barest instant, the informant's gaze wanders past the Batman's shoulder. And in that self-same instant, the Dark Knight moves!
Huh?
You want to play rough, punk? You picked a bad night for it. That wasn't very smart, snitch. I just wanted to talk.
Stay away from me, Batman. I'm warning you.
But now I'll get my answers another way.
Keep back, or I'll blow you away.
You dare? You dare to pull a gun on me? Don't you ever point a gun at me again. Never. Do you hear me? Never.
That's enough.
Huh? Robin, what?
Just protecting your back, Batman. Don't you think you've done enough here?
Yes, of course. There's nothing more this punk can tell me. Let's get out of here, Robin.
My thoughts exactly, Batman. You fellas try to keep out of mischief now, here.
The faces that watch the Caped Crusaders as they leave the battle-torn room are flushed with an awkward mixture of hatred and relief. Then, moments later, on the fog-shrouded wharves...
You're sure you're all right, Batman? For a while in there, I was looking pretty hairy.
I'm fine, chum. But I'm furious! Somebody broke into the Batcave and stole the original Bat costume once worn by my father, then mailed me the pieces. Now I intend to find that thief and reduce him to pieces as well.
And as the powerful Batmobile roars through the winding streets of Gotham City...
He's taking this hard, and I can understand why. He and I are so much alike in so many ways. He's not the only one who knows how it feels to see your parents murdered before your eyes. That night in Newtown, those many years ago, as the Flying Graysons performed their circus trapeze act for the final time, I stood watching proudly as my father performed his specialty, the triple spin.
Let me through! They're not...
I'm afraid they are, son. For your own sake, stay back.
There's nothing more you can do for them except mourn.
My parents were gone, and for the first time in my life, I was alone, so terribly, terribly alone. Bruce Wayne's parents also died by violence, gunned down on the street by a punk named Joe Chill. But while it took Batman years to track down his parents' killer, I learned the truth that same night.
Too bad about the accident, Hallie.
Yeah, you should have taken our advice.
There wouldn't be no accidents if you paid us to protect you.
You filthy murderers, all right. All right, I'll pay your extortion money, but only so that no one else will be killed.
Now you're talking smart, Hallie.
Those animals, they murdered my mother and father. I'm going to the police.
No, son, not yet.
Who?
I am called the Batman, and I want to help you get those killers. You can't go to the police yet, son. Come with me, and I'll tell you why.
I don't know why I trusted him then. This terrifying figure, like something out of a nightmare. There was something in his eyes, something in the tone of his voice. He led me to a tank-like machine he called the Batmobile. And soon after, a lonely country road. Okay. Why can't I tell the police?
Because this entire town is run by a man called Boss Zuko, son. If you talked, you'd be dead within the hour. I'm taking you to safety until I get enough evidence to nail Zuko. I have a special interest in you, because my own parents were also killed by a criminal. That's why I've dedicated my life to fighting crime.
Then help me. Give me a chance to avenge my parents. I kept pleading with him. Begging, and something in my voice must have touched something in the Batman's soul.
All right, Dick. I'll give you a chance, but I warn you. I lead a perilous life.
I'm not afraid. That night, with only God and the Batman as my witnesses, I swore an undying oath.
Swear that you will fight against crime and corruption, and never swerve from the path of justice.
I swear it. And the following day in Gotham City Courthouse.
I can't let you adopt the boy, Mr. Wayne, because you're a bachelor. But since you've obtained the consent of his nearest relatives, I hereby appoint you Dick Grayson's legal guardian.
As simple as that, a lifelong bond was formed between us, and my training for my chosen career began in earnest. Criminology, the martial arts. I learned all that I needed to know, and then some. Finally, after months of exhaustive effort.
You're almost ready, Dick. But to operate with the Batman, you'll need another identity, a costume, and a new name.
Well, since you're the Batman, maybe I could take the name of a different flying creature.
I was thinking precisely the same thing. How do you like the name Robin?
It's perfect. The legendary Robin Hood was always one of my favorite heroes. I didn't know it then, but I wasn't the first Robin. Bruce himself had worn the costume when he was a boy. But as I donned this red and green outfit for the first time, it didn't matter to me. I stared into the mirror and saw a hero staring back at me.
It fits you like you were born to wear it, Robin.
Who knows? Batman, maybe I was. 24 hours later, we were back in Newtown, on the trail of Boss Zuko. So we were there when the mobster murdered his own henchman. And I took the photo that sent Zuko to the electric chair. But being the sidekick of the legendary Batman was like a dream come true. Being the ward of millionaire playboy Bruce Wayne was something more like a nightmare. At parties, for example, I was looked on as some kind of pet.
Ooh, aren't you just the cutest little thing? Shame on you, Brucey, for not introducing us to this angel sooner.
And at school, it was even worse.
Say, your old man's money can't buy you out of this one, rich boy. You gotta put up your dukes, or are you too chicken, huh?
Leave me alone, Wally. I can't
fight you. Chicken, chicken, Grayson is a chicken.
They're wrong. They don't know how wrong. I just couldn't fight Wally. Not when I could cripple him with both hands tied behind my back. Why? Why do they make it so hard? Why don't they understand? Why can't I just be like everyone else? But I wasn't like everyone else, and I knew it. I had sacrificed my chance to lead a normal life so that other people could. Because somebody, somehow, had to make a difference if life is going to be worth living at all. Still, for a while there, it seemed as if my adolescence would go on forever. Until that bright June morning when I finally picked up my high school diploma and left a way of life behind me.
He looks splendid, Master Bruce. Simply splendid.
That's our boy, Alfred. Only he isn't a little boy anymore.
That fall, I left Wayne Manor for Hudson University. And that sprawling old mansion suddenly ceased to be a home.
This place is too big for just two of us, Alfred. It's time for a change.
Within the week, Bruce had clothed Wayne Manor and moved Locke, Stock, and Alfred into the penthouse crowning the offices of the Wayne Foundation. Once again, the Batman became a vital part of the city that he loved. The Dark Knight Avenger had finally come home.
For a moment, the Teen Wonder pauses in his reverie
as the sleek Batmobile slips unseen through the secluded cul-de-sac of Finger Alley. Then along a hidden tunnel, which lead to the sprawling Batcave hidden beneath the towering Wayne Foundation building.
Welcome home, sirs. Would you care for something to drink?
Not now, Alfred. I'm busy.
As you wish, sir. Master Dick, perhaps you?
I'll take a Dr. Pepper, Alfred, if you've got one.
I'm just so glad you answered my summons, young sir. Frankly, I'm worried about Master Bruce. He just hasn't seemed himself lately. He's so driven.
That's completely understandable under the circumstances, Alf. That old costume of his dad's meant a lot to him.
But there's more to it than that, young Robin. Ever since that warehouse explosion a few days past, Master Bruce has been a different man. As if he suddenly realized his own mortality and is struggling to deny it.
I know what you mean, Alfred. I saw an example of it a little bit earlier tonight. I guess that's the major difference between me and Bruce. To me, crime fighting has always been an adventure. But to him, it's a holy mission. Still, I suppose you can't really blame the man. He's known a lot of pain in his life.
So have we all, Master Robin. So have we all. I saw pain beyond imagining in the final days of the Second Great War, as I did my part to help countless refugees escape the Nazi oppression. And heaven forgive me for the pain that I myself inflicted in the course of that noble endeavor, so that men of goodwill everywhere could be free once more. It was a terrible time, a lonely time. But there was still satisfaction in the knowledge of a job well done. I was saving lives, and in the end, that was all that really mattered. When the war at last was over, I had seen enough of violence to last me a lifetime, more than enough. I put away my weapons and returned to my one true love, the stage. But alas, my beloved father was not a well man. And when the day finally came when I knelt by his deathbed.
For generations, there has been a penny worth in domestic service, my son, until now. Swear you won't let that grand old tradition die with me, Albert. Swear!
I swear, Father, if that is what you wish. But that grand old man could no longer hear me. Heartbroken, but bound by my oath, I left the London theater in the able hands of my older brother Wilfred and booked passage on the first ship bound for America. My father had spent many joyful years there in the employ of a prominent Gotham City physician. Assuming his heir might well have need of me, I made my way directly to Wayne Manor. Good evening, gentlemen. I trust I haven't disturbed you. I'll just set my luggage down, if you'll permit me, and then we can discuss my duties.
Now, wait just 1 minute. Exactly what can I do for you, mister?
You may call me Alfred, without the mister, and it is I who will do for you, sir. I trust you'll find my references in good order. You see, I'm your new butler.
Butler? But I haven't had one in years. I didn't send for one, and I'm afraid I really don't want one.
We've found we can get along better without servants of any kind.
It may be a bit awkward at first, sir, but I dare say you'll get used to me. My father faithfully served your father, and now I shall serve you. It's the way of the world, sir. Breakfast shall be served promptly at 7. I would appreciate punctuality. Good evening, sirs. I shall find my own way to my room. I settled into my new duties more quickly than I ever would have imagined. Perhaps my father had been right. Perhaps this was the life I was born to lead. But it was on a chill autumn night several weeks later, as an unnatural moaning filtered through my bedchambers, that the course of my life was forever set.
Alfred!
Huh? Someone, something, calling my name. And Master Bruce and young Dick are out for the evening. Perhaps it's a ghost. The voice, it seems to be coming from the old clock. Summoning all my courage, I examined the antique timepiece and discovered a hidden clock. A secret staircase winding downward. But who?
Alfred! Come down here, quickly. Quickly, Alfred! I need your help. The Batman, Bruce, has been injured.
Great Gadfrey, young Dick. You and the Master, you're the Batman and Robin. Hurry, lad, we've got to get Master Bruce up to his bed. Fortunately, the Master's wounds were slight, and when he recovered, he introduced me to a world beyond my wildest imagining.
Yes, Alfred, the Batcave is hidden here beneath Wayne's. You're the only other person in the world besides Dick and me and will its location.
You can rely on my discretion, Master Bruce. To be butler to the legendary Batman is indeed an honor. And from that moment forth, I did double duty. As gentleman's gentleman to wealthy Bruce Wayne, and as faithful aide-de-camp to the Dark Knight detective. And I've never regretted a single moment of it all. Caring for Masters Dick and Bruce has filled a void in my life, given it purpose again. For the first time since the Great War, I am involved in a noble cause once more, striving for the right. And I would gladly give my life in that cause should ever the need arise.
Your soda pop, Master Robin? Huh? Oh, thanks, Alfred. Just put it down, I'll get to it.
Have you uncovered any likely suspects yet, sir?
Yes, old friend, you might say that. You want suspects, Alfred? Here, look at these photographs. Take your pick. There isn't a single person in that unpleasant collection who doesn't have ample reason to hate me. And all of them are justified.
I dare say that all depends on one's perspective, sir.
Perhaps, Alfred, but the facts can't be denied. Take the Joker, for example. He wouldn't be the grotesque clown he is today if it weren't for me. When we first clashed at the Monarch Playing Card Company, he was merely a master criminal who called himself the Red Hood. You might as well give up, Hood. There's nowhere left for you to go.
Wrong, Batman! Left with no alternatives, I can always go down!
Great Scott! He's diving into the plant's catch basin for all the chemical waste. The liquid empties out into the river, but he'll never make it. That deadly chemical mixture will finish him first. But I had reckoned, without the special oxygen system built into that bizarre crimson helmet, Red Hood survived his swim through the very thick of those noxious chemical wastes. But he didn't survive unscathed.
No! It's not possible! All those foul chemicals did something to me. They turned my skin chalk white, my hair emerald green, my lips ruby red. I look like a clown, an evil, cursed clown.
At first, he was terrified, until he realized his new face could also terrify others. And since the playing card company was indirectly responsible for his new face, he renamed himself after the card in the face of a clown. The Joker!
Regrettable, sir, but what happened to the Joker was indisputably his own fault.
Well, of course it was, Alfred. But do you want to try telling him that?
Point taken. But they're not all like that. Heck, if not for you, this character would almost certainly have died all those years ago.
I know, Robin, and I've often wondered if he might have been a lot happier if he hadn't. Of all those who've ever crossed my path, Harvey Dent is probably the most tragic. He was Gotham City's youngest district attorney, a man on the rise, until the Boss Maroni trial put an end to his career forever.
Will you please repeat what you just told the court, Batman?
Gladly. Boss Maroni is the man who shot Bookie Benson.
He's lying! He's lying, I tell you!
Is he, Maroni? Then explain this. Maroni's own lucky piece, a two-headed silver dog, found at the scene of the crime with Maroni's fingerprints all over it.
Blast you, pretty boy. I'll fix you for that.
Maroni moved fast for a fat man, but I moved faster. I just didn't move fast enough. Look out, Dent! He's throwing acid!
Oh, my face!
For more than a month, Dent's tortured face was swathed in bandages. Then, at last...
You were lucky, Mr. Dent. That Batman's hand deflected that acid, so it only struck on one side of your face.
I appreciate that, Doc. Now, please, finish unraveling me and hand me a mirror.
No! No! My face! What have you done to it? I've become hideous! Hideous!
The shock of that moment was more than Harvey Dent's fragile mind could stand, and it sent him screaming over the edge. Maroni's two-headed lucky piece became his new trademark, and Dent himself became Two-Face! You begin to see the problem now. The possibilities are almost limitless. I've made too many enemies in my life, too many powerful enemies. And to make it worse, some of them, like Ra's al Ghul and Professor Hugo Strange, have even learned my true identity.
Well, we've got to start somewhere, chums. And since you don't have a better idea, why don't we try police headquarters?
Frankly, I'd rather not. This is a private affair.
Well, it's not likely to stay that way if you're going to keep mopping up the streets of Gotham with punks like Snitch. Come on, let's get moving. It won't hurt as much if you don't take time to think about it. Besides, Commissioner Gordon is one of your oldest friends. If he can't help you, then nobody. Huh?
Hit the deck, everybody! Someone has tampered with the Batmobile's ignition. This baby is about to explode!
Alfred, are you okay?
Certainly, sir, though I fear my poor wardrobe may never be the same.
I tell you, fellas, that's about as close as I ever want to cut it. If I hadn't noticed that... I almost hate to say it, Batman, but I think this note is for you.
No. Not again. Not again! One by one, I will destroy the things that make you what you are, and then I will destroy you. All right, Mr. Whoever you are. You've been asking for a war, and now you have one. And it's a war. Only one of us will survive.